Now it is nice to be with you again here in New Cumnock. There's actually no better time to be here in the Gospel Hall and to be here under the sound of the Gospel. I don't mean no better time than 6:15, but I mean no better time, I suppose, in the calendar. Is everything not just terrible nowadays? That's how we measure things, isn't it? Don't measure things by how happy we are, but by how bad they are. For example, this has been the worst winter, hasn't it? Since when? Since 30 years, that's been it. So it's been the worst time in the last 30 years. So we measure things how bad they are, and we're coming out of that just now. We're also coming out of a recession, so they tell us. But not just any recession, that's the worst one in the last 60 years, isn't it? And you might be saying this evening, as was announced there, you might be saying that's been the worst speaker since Tuesday, but that remains to be seen. But really what we're thinking about, what happened during the course of the week, because something happened during the week, you might have seen it in the news, heard it on the radio, seen it in the newspapers, because something happened which was the worst one for 200 years, because again that's how we measure how things are. And it was an earthquake, and it was the worst one that hit one of the islands in Haiti and the Bahamas. It was the worst one in 200 years. So we measure things as to how bad they are in terms of when the last bad thing happened. But we're glad this evening that there's no better time to be here, because we've got a message which is not a worst message, but the best message. And it's the best message which has ever been heard in 2,000 years. And this evening, we're going to look at something which is relevant to what happened during the week. For this worst earthquake ever which hit, we're going to look this evening at a couple of earthquakes. And we're going to look at least two earthquakes. We might make reference to more. Just in the hope even that if we're spared that in the course of this week, if you see it in the news or you see it on the radio about what's happening with this earthquake, you know, your mind might even turn again to what the Bible says about it. Before we just turn to the Bible, there's a verse in the Bible, and it's a man called Job who writes it, and he says this. He says, God speaks once. Yea, twice sometimes God speaks, yet man doesn't perceive it. Man doesn't understand when God speaks. And just by way of passing, when this earthquake happened in the last week, who was quick to get the blame for it? Well, it's God, isn't it? How does God let these things happen? How is it that God can allow all this suffering to happen? Oh, but yet we don't want to give God credit for anything else, just the bad things. And we call it a natural disaster, don't we, sometimes? But God speaks once, sometimes God speaks twice, and yet man doesn't understand it. And our prayer tonight is this, that if you've heard God speaking before, you should be so thankful. And if God speaks to you tonight, our prayer is that you might hear God speaking to you. We're going to turn to the Bible then, and we're going to turn to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament. Now, if you have a Bible and you're able to turn to it, that's great. If you don't have a Bible with you, just listen to what God says. And we're going to look at two earthquakes. This is the first earthquake we're going to look at. Then we'll look at a second one, and we might see what else the Bible has to say about earthquakes. We're in the book of the Acts, we're in chapter number 16. And we're going to read from verse number 23. And we're reading the story, not a story actually, that's maybe a bad expression, but the account, what actually happened. It's not a made up story, this actually happened. And it involves two men, a man called Paul and a man called Silas. And it tells us there that they have been preaching the same gospel, they've been preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, the same way we are tonight. And people who had heard it had taken offence to it. And it tells us in verse number 23 of Acts chapter 16, we'll read a few verses here. It says, when the people had laid many stripes upon them, that is, they had beaten them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So the jailer, who was in charge of the prison, was told to look after these two men who were in prison. So the jailer, having received such a charge, he thrust them into the prison, right into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. As you can imagine, the old one that you used to think about in the medieval times, the wooden thing, and you put your feet into it and locked it over, that they were locked up right in the inside of the prison. Verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. There's an earthquake tonight. A great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing that the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, because he supposed that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, we look to God to add his blessing to the reading of his word, and to all the verses we look at, and to the other earthquake we're going to look at as well. But we've got one earthquake here tonight. The worst earthquake in 200 years, apparently, we saw in the last week there. And if you saw any of the pictures in the news, or in the papers, or on the television, oh, it just looks tragic. And we can't even begin to imagine what it would be like. Because, believe it or not, no matter what your circumstances are, oh, we're blessed to live in a country like this. And we might have moaned about the snow this worst winter in 30 years. We might have moaned and complained about it. But we don't know how fortunate we were, how blessed we were, compared to some of these people now especially. The worst earthquake in 200 years. But this one here is described as a great earthquake. And we hear the effects of it. For we've got two men, two servants of God. And for preaching the word of God, they were put into prison. Don't think that doesn't happen, by the way. For there are still many countries round about in our world. And if you mention the Lord Jesus Christ, the same thing will happen to you. They would be beaten, they would be put into prison for it, just as these men were. So there they are in prison. Their feet were locked up for preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. And this earthquake caused the doors of the prison to open. It caused their chains to fall off. It caused their feet to be freed. And everyone's bands were loosed. Everyone in the prison was set free by this earthquake. We don't know what else happened. We don't know if buildings fell down. We don't know if there's any destruction. But we do know, as recorded here, that everyone was set free. Remarkable, isn't it? And what's happened here is that God has caused this earthquake, and God has caused it that everyone would be set free. But the earthquake was actually God speaking. Not to Paul or Silas, but he was speaking especially to one man. Now, we said before that God speaks once, sometimes twice, and sometimes we don't understand it. But this man knew exactly that it was God speaking to him. For this man had had one charge, one commandment. This man had been told to do one thing. We read about it there. We read that he was the one man who was responsible to make sure that they stayed in prison. And when we read about this man, don't think of a prison guard. I know we're just down the road from Hurrow from the prison there, but don't think of a man with a set of keys and a wee cap. This would be a soldier. This would be a hardy man. This would be a man who was trained to keep prisoners. And he's got one commandment: don't let these men free. But what's happened? Well, eventually he's fallen asleep. But he's not fallen asleep after hearing what these men, Paul and Silas, did. Verse 25 told us that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Even though they were in prison, even though all the circumstances seemed bleak, they were praying, and they were singing praises unto God. And it tells us that the prisoners heard them. And we know that if the prisoners heard them, this man heard them too. I wonder what sort of things they were singing. I wonder what sort of things the prison guard heard them saying to God. Probably how it would be that the man, Jesus Christ, was the only Son of God. They may have heard them praying to God about how God had sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. The Bible tells us very clearly that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. They may have heard them singing and praying about that. They may have heard them singing and praying about how God, when he looks upon each and every single person, he sees us all as having sinned and coming short of the glory of God. They may have heard them singing and praying about how it is that God is holy and cannot have sin in his presence. How there is none righteous, no so much as one. And he may have heard them singing about that. They may also have heard them praying about how it is that while we were yet in our sin, God still loved us. How there is nothing at all we can do of ourselves. How it is when there is absolutely nothing we can do in our own strength. We cannot buy our way to heaven. We cannot work our way to heaven. How when there is nothing which God could possibly love about us, he sent his Son into the world. They might have heard them singing and praying about how the man Christ Jesus was nailed upon a cross. They may have heard them singing and praying about how the man Christ Jesus shed his blood upon Calvary that we might have our sins forgiven. And I'm almost certain as well that they would have heard them singing and praying about how even though Christ laid down his life for us, that he took his life up again. And that Christ, having died on the cross, was buried, and the third day he rose again from the dead, and singing and praying again about how Jesus, on that day as yesterday, had returned back to heaven. And so all the prisoners round about heard them preaching Christ and him crucified. And the prison warden, this jailer, he heard it too. But he comes to a point where he realises that after this earthquake, after everything they've heard about God, heard them maybe praying about how God had created everything too, that after this earthquake, he wakes out his sleep and he sees that all the doors are open and he sees that the chains are falling off, and the first thing he thinks about is that everyone's escaped. And he comes to a realisation here that the circumstances in his life are so terrible, he only has one option. A terrible option. An option which sometimes people, even in our circumstances, think about as well. He looks about himself and he says, I've failed. He looks about himself and he says, I was told to do one thing and I haven't been able to do it. And it tells us in verse number 27, he would have killed himself. A terrible position. But this man obviously felt that he had absolutely no other option. That he had no other option than to take his own life. And you know, even nowadays, the world, the thing round about us, the devil, managed to convince some people sometimes when he drives them so low that they've got no other option. But this man, Paul, intervened again. And he said, do thyself no harm. Don't do it, just wait there. And when they came in, he fell before Paul and Silas. And he'd heard everything that they'd said. He'd heard everything about the Lord Jesus, about how Christ had died for him. And he says, what do I have to do to be saved? You know, I'm certain if you've been in this gospel hall before, you'll have heard that question, what do I have to do to be saved? And you don't have to ask it, because you know the answer. And it's exactly the same answer that he was given, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For I'm bringing to you a message which can bring salvation. Bring salvation, not just out of the circumstances of life, but out of your sin. For there is nothing at all in your sin you can do for yourself. But you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. Saved from your sin, saved for all eternity, and saved for heaven. Because of that. And it tells us there afterwards as well that he did just that. In the same hour, right there and then, he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that wasn't just the end of it for that man. For not only did he believe, but the first thing he wanted to do was to tell his family about it. He wanted them to know about it as well. You know, it was mentioned right at the start there that my dad is also going to come next week as well. Well, the reason I'm here is not because of that. Not because of anything that he's done for me. Because it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work in families or in generations. It works on an individual basis. That this man here, he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, as his family had to trust the Lord Jesus Christ too. And we read that they went and got baptised. They wanted to prove that what they had done was real, and to prove it to absolutely everyone. And it might be this evening that you're saved but not baptised. Well, there's an opportunity yet that you can obey God's word by being baptised. And we read right at the end there, that believing in God with all his, and they rejoiced. They were happy, they were glad. They were glad that they had found the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our first earthquake here, a very dramatic one, a very dramatic scene. A man who was right on the brink, about to take his own life, but he saw in the earthquake that God was in it all. And hearing about how Christ had died for his sins, he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, remember we said God speaks once, sometimes he speaks twice. Have you had your ears closed to it? Have there been circumstances in your life that might have been quite dramatic? Oh, maybe not earthquake dramatic. Maybe not dramatic enough that you've seen in the newspapers. But what's happened in your life? What's happened in your life that has made you think despaired so much that you haven't been able to see an option? Despaired so much that you can see no way out? What has been happening that's been so dramatic? Is it God speaking to you? Is it God speaking to you that first time, that second time, and God is continuing to speak to you? And even though you've thought there's been no option, and even though you've thought you've had no way out, God's been speaking to you and saying, Christ has died for you. Christ has died for you, and by putting your faith and trust in Him, you can have your sins forgiven. Maybe you're sitting there this evening and saying, there's absolutely nothing at all in my life. Things are fine. Things aren't dramatic at all. You know, nothing's ever happened. I'm quite happy as where I am. Let me take you to another earthquake then. Let me take you back to the Old Testament. We're going to the book of Kings this time. And when we're going to the book of Kings, we're going to chapter number 19 there. So in the Old Testament, we've seen a dramatic earthquake, and we've seen a man converted because of that earthquake by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to chapter number 19 of the book of Kings. We're moving quite quickly here because we really want to see the contrast between both of them. And a week which had the worst earthquake in 200 years for that area. An earthquake we've read in the book of Acts, and a man who had no other option, or felt no other option, but to take his life, and yet he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. This one here, we're reading about a man called Elijah. And this man called Elijah, he feels he's being persecuted, and so he ran away. Let us read from verse number 11. Verse number 11. And it's speaking to Elijah. And it says in verse number 11 of chapter number 19 of 1 Kings, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. So Elijah's there, and he's standing on a mountain before God. And what happens here? Verse 11. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. So he's standing there, this wind passes by, the mountains beginning to crumble, but it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. There's a second earthquake. So, we read in Acts about an earthquake, and we read about how God was speaking to this man through the earthquake. But what about this man here? And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. So this time we have another earthquake. And the earthquake fits into this scheme of things. There's a wind, and a great and strong wind goes by, and the wind's so strong that the mountains begin to crumble. But God wasn't in the wind. Then another earthquake, and this earthquake here, and it tells us God was not in the earthquake. Then a fire, but God was not in the fire. But after that, a still small voice. Remember, God speaks once, sometimes twice, but we don't hear it, we don't understand it, we don't perceive God speaking to us. Perhaps it's not that you've got dramatic circumstances in your life like an earthquake, but after this earthquake, a still small voice. I wonder this evening if you heard that. Maybe God's speaking to you like one case, through the circumstances of your life, but maybe in a night like this, maybe in a Sunday night gone past, you have heard God speaking to you. Not dramatically, but with a still small voice. A voice which you know no one else can hear, because you hear it not in your ears, but you hear it in your heart. And a voice which says the same message to that other man. A voice which says, Christ has died for you. A voice which says, in your sinful condition, you can do nothing for yourself, but Christ has died. And you know that you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because of that still small voice that you've heard. Under this evening, has it troubled you? Oh, you might want, you might say, I want the dramatic thing. I want the dramatic thing because at least then I can work at it, I can see it through. The still small voice bothers you worse than the earthquake does. The still small voice that you hear inside your heart of Christ saying to you that he has died for you upon Calvary, that his blood has been shed, that bothers you more so than ever the earthquake could. And what does this man do when he hears it? That when he heard it, he responded to it. That when he heard the voice, he responded to it. And it might be this evening that you've heard that voice because God has spoken to you and you know it's been him and yet you've never responded. Yet it's been that you've managed just to block it out, you've managed to ignore it, to slip out the hall and just wait again for the next week and hope that it doesn't bother you again during the course of the week. That God's spoken once, he's spoken a second time and yet you've not understood it and you've managed to block it out. This evening, just as that man asked, what do I have to do to be saved? You know the answer. believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Paul wrote later on in the book of the Romans, he said that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. If you believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, then you have to believe that he died for you. You have to believe that in Calvary he paid the price of your sin. You know, Paul was a man who understood exactly what it was to have been saved. He understood what it was to have a life beforehand. You know, he didn't have an earthquake, but he had a dramatic experience as well. And when it was that Paul was converted, he was travelling along the road. No, an earthquake this time, but a light from heaven. On his possession, at the moment God stopped him, he had in his pocket papers. And the papers in his pocket were warrants for death. Were warrants to take people away and to go and have them murdered. To go and have them put to death for being Christians. You know, Paul in later life, when he wrote about it, he speaks about how it is that there's a death warrant for you as well because of your sin. That there's a death warrant that because of your sin, we have to pay the price of our own sin. That sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. But he speaks about what Jesus has done. Jesus has blotted out your name. And he took the death warrant which was yours and he nailed it to the cross. And that by dying upon the cross, you can have forgiveness by believing in him. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and he will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing whatsoever in our past that can prevent God from forgiving us. No matter what's happened in our past, no matter how bad we think it may be, there is nothing which the blood of Christ can't wash us from and cleanse us from by believing in him. And so this evening, when we think about the events of the last week, when we think about the worst earthquake in 200 years, we're looking at two earthquakes here. One earthquake which is so dramatic that a man's going to take his life because he thinks there's no other option. And yet he bows down and asks how to be saved and he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at a second earthquake. This time God's not in it. God's after the earthquake and the still small voice. The still small voice which you may have heard before. And God is speaking, telling you how Christ has died for you. The Bible actually mentions more about earthquakes, in fact. And the disciples one day came to the Lord Jesus, and they said to them, what's going to happen at the end of the world? What's going to happen right at the end of the world? And the Lord Jesus Christ tells them. He says, oh, do you know what? He says, there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumours of wars. And one thing he mentions, he says, there's going to be earthquakes. Earthquakes in all different places. He didn't tell us when it's going to be, though. But he did tell us that there's certain things have to happen before that. He says that right at the end of the world, there's going to be earthquakes in all different places. But we know that before that happens, you have to come again. And we sang that in our hymns, didn't we? We sang about how it is that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised he's going to come again and receive unto himself all those who have put their faith and trust in him. And so this evening, if we're looking at this example of an earthquake, then how much sooner must it be that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come? How quickly must it be that he is due to come back? And the opportunity, which is yours tonight, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, might not be given to you again. Because we said, God speaks once, God speaks twice, yet man doesn't understand it. What if he doesn't speak a third time? What if he doesn't give you the opportunity again to hear his voice? What if he doesn't give you a last opportunity to put your faith and trust in his son? And that tonight's your last opportunity before he would come again. Well, this evening, whether it's a dramatic event in your life or whether it's just that still small voice God is speaking, God is speaking to you individually in your seat. Not the person next to you or behind you, but to you. And this evening, he's telling you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. No matter your circumstances tonight, no matter what it is that's happened in the past, no matter whatever it might be, this evening we simply pray that today, if you will hear God's voice, that you won't harden your heart. We're praying that if you will hear what it is He's saying to you, you will respond and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll close in prayer just now. Our Father, again this evening, we give thanks for an opportunity to open the Bible, to look at Thy Word, and to read about how it is that the Lord Jesus Christ can save men and women. We give thanks for the work of Calvary, for blood that was shed, meaning that we can believe in Him, we can confess our sin, and we can have our sins forgiven. Our prayer tonight is, Father, that if there is anybody here who has not done that yet, we pray that they will hear Your voice. We pray that the voice of God will be heard in the circumstances of their life, whether it be dramatic circumstances or whether it would be simply that still, small voice. We pray that the voice of God would be heard and that they would respond. And so, our Father, again this evening, we return thanks for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. We are looking forward to it. But again, we pray that if there are any who are not looking forward to it because they are not saved, that tonight they would put their faith and trust in Thy Son before it would be too late. And so again, this evening, our Father, as we depart, we pray that we would not forget this, these things, it would be, take them with us. And if it be Thy will, that even over the course of the week, as we see these things unfold, we pray that Thy Word would go with us, and that we would continue to hear Thy voice. And so as we part now, we return thanks. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now we're going to just take time and sing just one verse of a hymn. Hymn number 294. O spotless Lamb, I come to Thee, no longer can I from Thee stay. Break every chain Thou set me free, take all my sins away. And just like that man we read of tonight, that man the jailer, who when he was before Paul and Silas said, what did I do to be saved? And they told him to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was saved. He simply prayed this, he simply prayed to take his sins away. And so we'll keep our seats while we sing verses 1 and 3 with the chorus of 294, after which our meeting is over. Thank you for listening.